Hey, it's Miriam, and welcome to City Girls Who Talk, a show dedicated to women navigating the hustle and bustle of city life. Each episode brings conversations with trailblazers, creative minds, and inspirational figures. They'll encourage us to embrace life fully, live healthier, connect more, and ignite our passions. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube, Spotify, and Apple podcasts so that we can continue to bring you the good stuff. Here we go. Hi, City Girls. I'm your host, Miriam, and today we're talking about the life-changing impact of sharing your story. My guest today is the CEO of Forbes' featured publishing house, The Self-Publishing Agency. Her first book, Our Interrupted Fairy Tale, is an award-winning, best-selling memoir, and she has also published two children's books co-authored with her stepdaughter. Between her own books and the hundreds of authors she has worked with to help publish their stories, Megan is one of the best people to talk to about the impact we can have on our lives and other people's lives when we decide to share our stories out loud. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, Miriam. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. So today we're going to talk about the power of sharing our stories. When you first wanted to write your own book, what propelled you to take that leap of faith? And yeah, like what was the intention and the catalyst to getting your story out there?
I was certainly naive in what I wanted to do. It all actually started because I was in a relationship and he had cancer. And throughout that process, he had just started blogging because at some point we had enough, he was not doing very well and he wanted to share with friends and family and a network at large updates about how he was doing. And keep in mind, this is in the very early days of Blogger and what have you, instead of doing mass emails, he chose to do Blogger. What came from that is that when he started talking about what he was going through out loud, I started getting messages from my friends being like, is everything okay? Like, what is happening? We didn't realize the complexities of what you guys were going through. So then I decided that I would start a sister blog to that, or a partner's blog, I guess. And I would talk about what was going through from my perspective. So on the other side of the coin. And we ended up having kind of this his, her dialogue of sharing what was happening for us at the time. And the ripple effect of that was really profound because you can feel support in parts of your lives that you might have not otherwise been able to connect with. As we move through that story, Chad ended up passing away a few months after starting his blog. And I found a diary in our closet after he had died. And he had written in the back of it, publish this book when the time is right. So I'm just a very good, like, I'm very, very coachable. So I took that to heart. And I never really considered myself somebody who would write a book. I don't have that on my bucket list to do. But being the coachable person that I am, like, okay, I guess this is something I'm going to figure out how to do and a story I'm going to tell. So I wrote the book with his diary entries, his blog entries, my blog entries, my diary entries, and ultimately came up with this his, her memoir of our love story. And it has a mistress of cancer in the middle, and decided that I was going to figure out how to publish it, whether that be in the trade world, as we see in the movies, or some other way. I didn't really have any grand ideas about what the story was meant to do. It was mostly just to keep a legacy alive and keep Chad alive and living in other people's worlds for as long as possible. So my intention was a little bit naive and be like, this story doesn't need to stretch to the corners of the earth. This story just needs to exist on a bookshelf so Chad can exist forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the start of my excitement for storytelling.
When you started writing, how did you find it helped you accept his passing? I guess, accept, you know, that this was a new chapter now for you.
I don't know. I'm not going to be the first person on earth to declare that writing really helps, you know, clear things up for ourselves.
Yeah.
But I do know that writing when I was most uncomfortable and writing when I was most sad was like, it was just purging, and it was an ability to articulate feelings that you might just ping pong around in your head about, you know, whether you're angry or sad. You're kind of putting it in your mind as like, it's just emotions in your head. But once you start putting it on paper, you start saying things and you're like, that does make sense. That is how I'm feeling. That does draw a connection for me. And as it went on, being able to articulate my sadness, it also allowed it to not have a total hold on my life either. And being able to say it out loud, it loosened its grip on me because it wasn't something, just a thought that I was walking around in my head with all day.
So powerful. Right now you're helping others tell their story in their own way, right? I mean, the premise of the self-publishing agency is that you're helping people self-publish, essentially.
Literally the title, yes.
So anyone can write a book.
Anyone can write a book. And not everyone can write a good book, but that's why you hire a team of great people around you. You know this from all of the businesses that you've done, is that when we want to do something well, we got to hire a team of professionals. We don't cut our own hair. Just because we can doesn't mean that we do.
That we should.
Exactly. We would otherwise be walking around with bangs. So
yeah, bangs, bad.
So the premise of our business is actually based on how I started writing my book, was you just start with writing. You just purge it and piece it together as best you know how. And then we move through, and all of a sudden it's a really long Word document. And then you edit it a few times, and then you feel like this is as good as my skill level can bring it to. And what I did was then I was like, I brought the book to as far along as I knew how to, as far as my, you know, university degree could get me. And then I hired an editor who came in and turned me from being a writer to an author. It was a bridge to cross from having a manuscript to a published book. And that premise there is where, like, how we figured out what type of publishing agency we wanted to start. We wanted to be able to help turn writers into authors, and doing so, providing them with a team of professionals who could help their voice get a little bit clearer and get their voice a little bit louder.
Obviously, when you wrote your book, it had a profound impact on your life. And now you help all these other people tell their stories. What are some of the ways you've seen people's lives change through the power of telling those stories in a more public way?
How many hours do you have? I have all of the examples. The impact that sharing my story has changed my life, but I haven't until recently been able to articulate how other people's lives have changed when they've decided to publish, because sometimes it's actually their story to tell. But what we have seen is the really cool part about when somebody decides to say something, whether this is fiction, it could be a memoir, it could be a cookbook, it's not a quantifiable, like, oh, I've made this many sales and therefore my book is a success, therefore I have changed my life. What it actually is this really unquantifiable butterfly effect that happens when somebody says their story out loud, be it writing on a podcast or, you know, just maybe to a group of people. What happens is that story now exists beyond you. It now lives in other people's heads. It belongs on other people's nightstands, and it lives in other people's bookshelves, and you will not know where it goes. It's like when you decide to say it out loud, you never know where it's landing anymore. And it's almost like, it sounds really gooby to say, but it's kind of just a gift. It's not yours anymore. And you don't know who reads a book and now looks at life differently. Or maybe a book makes somebody have changes a perspective that makes them a better husband or a better parent. That's not quantifiable, and you don't know who that happens to. When we talk about the life-changing impact of saying your story out loud, you don't know. You'll just once in a while get gifted back somebody who said, I read your book and I now have become a bone marrow donor. I read your book and it made me a better wife. I read your book and it made me laugh so hard, and I needed that on a holiday. And that ripple effect, let's say somebody did laugh on a holiday. The ripple effect of that is actually that they had a better time in that moment than they were otherwise going to have, or they became happier for their friends that day. And the ripple of that is like, you can't touch that. So all you can hope is that the universe gives you back somebody who will come and say, thank you for saying that. That made a really big difference for me. We had an author tell us recently that he was speaking in front of a large group of people and somebody came up to him and said, until I heard you speak, I actually thought I was the only person who had gone through trauma like that. And, you know, there's one book sale, but now they go off in their separate lives. And now two people feel less alone and two people feel more seen. And what that impacts or the positive impact that that has, it's extraordinary.
It's immeasurable, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even find where it went.
Exactly.
It's so powerful. I mean, I read your book originally and I was really moved by it, but also because I knew you. And I thought, I was just thinking, I've told your story to several people outside of the actual reading the book and being affected by it, recalled it and told it, talked about it with people. And they're probably going to go off and tell that same story now to someone else. And, you know, the power of sharing is really in the fact that it's contagious. Like you share, then I share. Mm-hmm. And when you feel like you're comfortable or you trust and this is a safe circle to share, that it just, people open up. I mean, that's how we all connect.
Yeah. And we all know what it's like to have a friend or a colleague who just feels like they skip right off the surface. Where they don't share enough detail for you to really understand how they're feeling or enough detail to really understand a perspective. And we never actually feel connected to that person. You're just like, well, I mean, they do them and no big deal. But those are hard relationships. Those are hard people to be around if they're not willing to share because there's no depth there to grow from. And if we want, you can go back to storytelling from the beginning of time. It's actually like we can talk about it and how storytelling can bond us and make us feel connected to people. But it's actually essential to our survival because going back, you know, centuries, we're talking about don't eat that berry. It's poisonous. Do eat this herb. It will save your life or it will heal you. So we have like verbal storytelling is something that we've had to, it saves us. It allows humans to evolve and to grow and to survive. So, we're in a place where we kind of have the internet not tell us the information, but now we need it for human connection and community and emotional growth.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, back then probably was like, yeah, this is how you're going to avoid danger. But now I think it's like, how do you not feel alone in the world, which is something I really think about a lot, is that what are the things we can do on a daily basis or often enough that will help us actually make human connection happen?
Yeah.
In an authentic way. And so, you know, journaling is amazing, but it is really for you. But then sharing it publicly is a different type of gift you're giving yourself and others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, I don't think some people might be like me and never dreamed of writing a book. So this isn't like a conversation. You'd be like, write your book no matter what, it'll do something. But rather considering that whatever you are going through, whatever you have to say, it's worth saying out loud. Like think about if we were to be at a grocery store. There's always the average exchange, which is like, how's your day going so far? I'm like, good, thanks. You? Yeah, it's good, thanks. Day's almost done. Yeah, that's good. And then you just sort of click through. And now that's the most forgettable encounter of your day.
Mm-hmm.
But what if just in practice, we all practice, somebody asks how our day is. It's going pretty good. I read a really interesting book earlier today, so I can't stop thinking about that. And you just offer just a soundbite of what happened in your day or just something a little bit different. And to your end or to your point, that might be where we stop feeling a little alone. Now, my question to you is not like, oh, that's good. That's good. It's like, oh, what book are you reading?
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, I just was like, I'm just sorry. I'm really in my head right now. I'm like listening to a great podcast. And you just tell somebody. I mean, they didn't ask, but if they don't like what you have to say, then that's a them problem.
Be forthcoming.
Yeah. All you can do is offer it up. It interrupts the monotony of their day and makes them feel like they've just met somebody interesting. And I'm sure if the encounter were to be on the other side of it, it would also be interesting. You're just appreciative that somebody said something different than good. Yeah, good. Yeah.
That's so interesting because you're always thinking about like, how do I sound and how will my story sound? But you never think how like someone else is needing to hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about you. Yeah. It's about the person you're encountering.
Yeah. And we're not talking, we're like profound, like, oh, I'm having a really hard day today because all of the things have gone wrong. You just might share a soundbite. It might be just as much as sharing a song that you've just heard that you can't get out of your head. Or, you know, the kid's driving me crazy today. But again, it's just a one little bit that you're like, oh God, it's nice to hear that somebody else has something going on too.
So yeah, like about a year and a half ago, a few of my friends were like really encouraging me to start sharing my personal life story. And I've always kind of been a bit more timid around like really getting into the life story, you know, my path to Canada, like the family story that we had. And I was like, you know what? Because I'm uncomfortable, I'm actually going to try to do this. And so I started sharing the story initially with that group of women. And then they were like, well, you should tell this story now publicly. And I haven't gotten there where I want to write a book. But during about that time, my dad was also really sick. And I realized that if I were ever going to tell my stories, I actually needed to hear my dad's stories first.
Mm.
And at that time, my dad's health had deteriorated enough that, you know, we couldn't really write anything. But I would get him, I just taught him how to do a selfie video. You know, I mean, he was a little bit out of it, but I was like, Dad, you just hold it and you just start telling your story. If I'm not with you, this is what we're going to do. And then when I was with him, I would do it with him. And so it really got me thinking about how do you chronicle your days, your memories, your experiences? Because I, for one, having a premenopausal like brain, can't remember all the time what I did last week or last month. And so I've also started journaling since then. And so I think for me, it's like I need to piece together the stories as they were told from the perspective of my parents, my mm-hmm. children, myself, but also keep these things fresh and alive and somewhere on paper where I feel like I can come back to it when I'm ready to tell that big story. And I think everybody's got that big story in their head, in their heart, that they eventually want to somehow produce it or to create something around. Now, it doesn't have to be a book or in a written format, but that just really made me think a lot about this whole process of documenting life. And I can just totally appreciate how this helps so many people, especially if they have family members that are passing away or they're going through a big ordeal, a crisis, and just being able to like recall it in detail so that later you have something tangible that you can hold on to.
Yeah. And I think you're so right to start recording it now because, as we all know, in our busy lives, it's very easy to forget lots of things just because you just move on to the next day and you're like, wait, did he say that or did he say that or did I mean that or what have you? For anyone who's in your position or anyone who is starting to have that crackling of like, I do think I want to start piecing together parts of my life in a more articulate way. And that might be for private consumption. That might just be because you just don't know what your future self is going to want to do, but you just have this interest in like, I just don't want to forget these things, whether I'm feeling really low or I'm feeling great. Just don't want to forget it. Our advice to authors or honestly anybody who's starting to have that is to remove any resistance. It doesn't have to be pages and pages on a laptop. It doesn't have to be a romantic like environment and you sit down and journal. It could be a voice note to yourself. It could be, and you just, as long as it's labeled either by date or emotion, I think it becomes easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore the easier it is, the more likely you are to do it often.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the outcome of that is at the end of the year or at the end of a decade, I mean, I'm really glad I like just purged that because it's not going to be, there's no chance it's going to be beautiful writing, but it will be writing that will be valuable.
And there'll be hours of entertainment.
Hours of entertainment.
You're going to sit there and entertain yourself for hours. And to your point about it doesn't have to be super fancy, you know, it can be very rudimentary. I started doing this when I was in university. I would email myself.
Cool.
A diary entry.
Yeah. And
like, hi, Miriam.
That's so cool. And the best part of it, and that's a great example of how you just have to do with what is appropriate or works for your life at this stage. We have an author who she really was having a hard time carving out time to write her book. And part of that, the block and the carving out time, is she would like want to set the stage for the room to be like, I'm going to sit down at my laptop, I'm going to light a candle, the house has to be quiet, and now I'm going to start writing. But those moments were so far in between. She's a really busy mom and working, etc. So what we actually established was like the biggest block of time you have is while you're waiting for your daughter at dance class. So she just started typing in her car for that 30 minutes. That stage of her writing is actually over now, because now she's like, I can't write in that window of time. Either her daughter's no longer in dance, or now it's, what was her story is that it's too emotional now to just dive into it in the middle of her day. She does need to carve out time. But to your end, we don't have to place rules around how we're documenting our own stories. You don't have, like, you can make voice notes, and then the next day you can journal, and then the next day you write a gratitude list. We don't have to place a, this is what I do forever now. It just might be, I'm going to email myself diary entries until I feel like not doing that anymore.
Aw. Well, another the interesting story I'm going to share is that when my dad passed away, I still, for a while, his phone number was still active, and me and him communicated through WhatsApp. So he would leave me voice notes. And so when he passed away, I continued to leave him voice notes of things that I was doing during the day.
Oh.
Anyways, I was just like documenting. And so now I will once in a while just, you know, they get saved in your phone, and I'll listen to his messages and then the messages through time. And it's so effective. It really, like, you feel connected to that person. And I don't know. I don't know where I'll go, but it's also a warm up.
It's going to be called Dear Dad.
Dear Dad.
And it's going to be your life.
So what are you writing these days? Or are you writing?
Emails.
Test strategies.
I'm not writing anymore. And I think part of that came, I'm not writing stories anymore, I should say. I really enjoy coming up with creative strategies for our authors. And sometimes, depending on what I'm reading, I'll feel like throwing in a little bit more of like a creative vibe or more funny or coy language or whatever it is. But I'm not writing a book anymore. I don't. That's not
right
this,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Not for this.
I'm not going to say it. It's not ever going to happen, because I don't know. I just have no interest in doing it now. So I just won't do that. And I'll do something. I love what I'm doing right now. And some days emails are longer than others because I felt like riffing a little bit and coming up with cooler ideas. So it's a muscle. I'm doing it daily, but I don't think another memoir or another book is in my near future anyhow.
Are you writing a journal? Are you trying?
I do.
What's happening?
I started, my dad has done this for decades. He does morning pages. And so he writes for 30 minutes every single morning on his laptop. And I was like, well, that's a commitment. And I also just wasn't actually interested when he first started telling me about it. I'm reading Tim Ferriss's Tools for Titans right now. And he talks about morning pages, sitting down for as long as you can or as long as appropriate. And you journal out whatever it is that you're feeling that day. And I had never heard it articulated this way. And once I did, it changed my interest level in like sitting down every morning to write and I only just set my timer for 5 minutes. But it was the way he articulated it is writing first thing in the morning is like creating windshield wipers for your day. So now whatever fight you had with your partner the night before, whatever kept you up at 3 a.m. or whatever was stressing you out when you first woke up, or whatever's just like sitting there and you're looking forward to or have to do today, if you just purge that, it kind of clears the screen for the day. And now it's not just going to be an open browser tab in your head all day long. So I've been doing that for a couple of months now and really enjoying it. I'm not going to make any profound proclamations that it's changed my life or anything, but I'm really enjoying the process of not having something just lingering in my mind all day long that might not need to be there.
Yeah, for sure. And I find like If you get it on paper, it no longer just floats around your head.
Exactly. And then into your animal, maybe this will be my way of documenting the next story. I just don't know it yet. I'm just documenting the days. I'm documenting how I'm feeling on that day. And who knows, maybe by the time I've got 50 journals, I will have something else to say.
It's big books, right?
Yeah.
Aw. Well, thank you for coming, Megan. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, buddy. In the city.
Thank you for tuning in to City Girls Who Talk. Join us next time as we embark on our mission to make the city a little less lonely and empower women to live better. This show is brought to you by Better Humans Agency, JPod Creations, and Signalcast Studio.